JC Corcoran Podcast.
How's your whole family? How's your whole family? How's your whole family? How is your whole family? How's your whole?
How's your whole?
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
September 24th, 2021, here at jcontheline.com. How you doing, kids? How you doing? Well, apparently, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, got a little upset when she was quoted from this memoir about the fact that she had been in a 19-year relationship with another woman. But now she's like, hey, just hold on a second here. I'm still mainly attracted to men. I don't think I'm gay. I don't know what the hell I am, end quote. Well, if you're with a woman for 19 years, but you're still mainly into men, see, this doesn't make any sense. Nothing makes any sense these days. The Cardinals, 12 in a row. This is crazy. It's also crazy, the people at Major League Baseball who decided to have some of the games on YouTube. Man, does that bother people, and it bothers me too. Now, they're trying to reinvent the coverage of the game with weird camera angles. And just the whole thing is like, whose idea was this? These people, you know, they got like a 29-year-old guys wearing little skinny ties running Major League Baseball. And they are trying to turn everything into the NCAA Final Four. You know, you can't have 20 seconds between pitches without music, really, really loud music. You can't do anything anymore that is reminiscent of the way that the sport was developed and the way we liked it for over 100 years. They don't think that it's exciting enough, which is why they're forcing this DH. They're going to force the DH on us next year. You watch. And, you know, because, again, this goes back to the story I said. I approached one of the MLB guys in the elevator coming up to the press box a couple of years ago. And I said, so, you know, do you understand that we don't want the DH in the National League? He's like, well, we're just looking for uniformity. I'm going, all right, fine, then get rid of the DH in the American League. And then you've got uniformity. He just sort of looked at me like, I hate you. And I was fine with that, by the way. Speaking of the Cardinals, I don't know when this happened. There's no date on this. Somebody sent it to me. But was this the beginning of the end for Mike Shannon?
I'm going to tell you about a blowjob. That's right. Artisan will appreciate the local handmade works of art at the Third Degree Glass Factory. View glass blowing demonstrated. Or create, shop, and entertain in their unique event space. That's right.
Mike, there are kids listening.
I'm going to tell you about a blowjob.
I made it clear over the years that I do not like country music. Actually, the birth of country music is sort of fascinating to me. You go back there. All right, so I'm living in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in the late 1970s. And this is one of these deals where people forget. You don't have cable. You don't have the internet. The TV stations would play the national anthem at, like, I don't know, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and go off the air. The next thing you would have would be at, like, 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning is the farm shows would come on. And, you know, kids would bring their goose or whatever the hell it is that they're, like, 4-H club stuff. And they would always have some guy who looked like he was barely alive sitting behind the anchor desk. And it was some guy who probably looked better in overalls, right? And he's like, all right, now let's bring out 13-year-old whatever, and she's got her goose. And you know, they would interview like a 13-year-old girl about the prize goose that she was going to show at the 4-H club or at the county fair or whatever the case may be. And this is what it was. So I used to get off the radio at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I would get home around 3. And there's nothing. There's nothing. And there was no TV. I'm not going to read. And so I'd be sitting there, maybe having a little bite to eat. And even the radio stations were all, you know, automated usually in their all-night shows. And this was before Larry King, I don't even think, was around yet. And don't ask me how, but somehow I picked up a radio station, like one of those 50,000-watt clear channel stations. And it was a trucker's show playing country music. And everything was about truckers, and the whole CB thing was a CB radio thing was happening. And as a matter of fact, the contests they would have were like you didn't win a pair of concert tickets to see, I don't know, Olivia Newton-John or something like that. They would give away 67 WMAQ mud flaps for your 18-wheeler. I'm not making this up. And don't ask me how, but I started listening to this almost every night. So I'd be sitting there at 3-4 o'clock in the morning listening to these old, I don't want to have to marry you, Helen Cornelius and Jim Ed Brown, and all these Red Sovine records like Giddy Up Go. And if you, for whatever reason, have been exposed to country music, particularly back in the 60s and 70s, you know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, I probably sound like an insane maniac here today telling these stories. And again, it was completely out of character for me and also counterintuitive to everything I've ever known. But I don't know. You get desperate in the middle of the night. And it's sort of like I watch televangelists, too. And I think this is the reason why. I think it's like I really am attracted to really, really, really bad entertainment shows. And that would include radio and TV. Stuff where you're just watching in complete disbelief. You just can't believe what you're seeing and what you're hearing. And I've always been drawn to stuff like that. I said all that to say all this. I've been watching the way you've been watching my miss. They have put together a list of the top 3 cities for country music lovers. Now, you would assume that Nashville and places like that would be number 1, and it is. Number 2 is Las Vegas, and I sort of understand that. You know, you figure there's some places in Texas that would be on there too. But number 3 on the list, St. Louis. Country music lovers. The third most. They took into consideration stuff like number of country radio stations and concert venues. Okay, there's 2 country radio stations in St. Louis. How does that make us number 3? I bet you if you looked around, you'd find some place where there's 3 country music stations. So this is one of these things, another one of these lists that St. Louis gets on that we don't need to be on. I had a guy write me a hate letter once. He said, you don't understand Southern living. And I thought to myself, does this guy know he lives in the Midwest? Apparently not. that was almost as good as the guy who wrote me a letter and called me a putz and spelled it P-U-T-T-S. Oh. A new book says B.B. King's 15 kids were not his biological children because he was sterile. And they said he was sterile because at the age of 12, a ram smashed his testicles. B.B. King's family disputes all of this. Well, what are they going to do? Ellen DeGeneres says that from day one, she wanted to have a show that was really fun for everybody. 19 seasons later, it's going to be interesting to see which stars show up for her swan song in her final year and which stars say, I, you know, that stuff I've been hearing about you is true. Just for the record, I have friends in New York who were very, very close to the writers for Ellen out on the West Coast, and they say it's all true. All this stuff about how mean she was to people is all true. But it's also true that a lot of big stars on television are mean to their people. I've heard on very, very good authority that Bill Maher is just a prick to his own staff. But it appears to me that Bill Maher, although I love his show, I really dislike him. He's not one of these guys you would want to have over for a beer. And even in 1985, when I worked with him backstage at the Westport Playhouse and I was talking to him, I even thought to myself, this guy's a jackass. And so at least he's consistent. There's a new animated Super Mario Brothers movie coming out in December of 22. They just announced the cast yesterday. Chris Pratt, Anya Taylor-Joy from the Queen's Gambit, Charlie Day, Jack Black is going to play Bowser. Keegan-Michael Key is Toad. Seth Rogen is Donkey Kong. Fred Armisen is Cranky Kong. You've got Sebastian Maniscalco. Oh, God. Well, they were doing good up until then, huh? We have a new HBO show from Bob Costas tonight. His guests are Carmelo Anthony, Muhammad Ali's daughter, Rashida, and also director Ken Burns. On Netflix this weekend, you've got The Starling with Melissa McCarthy as a grieving mother who becomes obsessed with killing a bird in her yard. Chris O'Dowd plays her husband, and Kevin Kline, St. Louis's own, is a friend helping her through the grieving process. Really? Okay. Don't be surprised if you're not able to reach your gay friends. On Sunday night, they will be watching the 74th Annual Tony Awards. And Sunday Night Football for heterosexuals is San Francisco hosting the Green Bay Packers. The Simpsons 33rd season premiere, also Sunday on Fox. Rachel Ray had her home in upstate New York burned down last year, and now flooding from Hurricane Ida has destroyed her Manhattan apartment. She's not having a good year. Ringo says the six-hour documentary Peter Jackson is doing about the Beatles is a, quote, masterpiece. We have a lot of birthdays this weekend. Nia Vardalos, still apparently considered a star. How about that? My Big Fat Greek Wedding at 59. Kevin Sorbo, Hercules. He's nuts, by the way. Mean Joe Green, Pittsburgh Steelers legend, 75. Birthdays tomorrow. Both Catherine Zeta-Jones and her husband, Michael Douglas. She's 52. He's 77. Will Smith, 53. Scottie Pippen, 56. Heather Locklear turns 60. Michael Madsen from Reservoir Dogs, 64. Mark Hamill, Star Wars, 70. Anson Williams, that would be Potsy, 72. Cheryl Teagues, 74. Barbara Walters, 92. Serena Williams turns 40 on Sunday. Jim Caviezel, another nut from Passion of the Christ, 53. Melissa Sue Anderson, 59. Linda Hamilton from The Terminator, 65. Olivia Newton-John, 73. Brian Ferry of Roxy Music, 76. And Officer Jim Reed on Adam 12. Kent McCord is 79. One of the reasons I did all those birthdays is because on Facebook and other social media in the last, I would say, year or two, you've been seeing a lot of pictures of Raquel Welch. And she is, how old is Raquel Welch now? I want to say like 82 or something. And they keep posting these pictures of her. And she looks like a young, immature woman of advanced age, but looks absolutely fabulous. And people are looking at her like, how the hell can you be that old and look that good? Well, yesterday I found out, it turns out there's a good reason for that. It's because she doesn't look that way. And these pictures that they're posting of her were taken like 10 or 15 years ago. and somebody took candid shots of her, just saw her walking down the street. And you know what? She looks like an 82-year-old lady. She's all shriveled up and everything like that. And that's not a criticism. It's just a fact of life. If you're 82 years old, you're pretty shriveled up. And even if you're still looking pretty good and somehow you got good genes and you've taken care of yourself and the lighting is right and everything like that, you can still look beautiful at 82, but not beautiful the way you are when you're 50 or when you're even 60. So whoever's been putting up these pictures of Raquel Welch has been, sort of quote unquote managing her image a little bit, because she doesn't look like that. And you might say, well, so what, JC? Well, you know, it sets an unreasonable standard for other women of an advanced age. It's not good. It's just not a good idea. And most importantly, it's a big lie. Stan Kroenke is fucked. It's becoming very, very obvious. He has lost two major court battles this week and yesterday, or maybe it was late. Yeah, I think it was late yesterday. They said now that he has to disclose his personal finances, and that's going to make it really, really interesting. And it also is an indication from the court that, you know, they're trying to determine net worth. So when they assign punitive damages, if they do, they know how to keep the thing sort of, I guess you would say, in proportion. Let's put it that way. He's going to have to make a deal on the courtroom steps, or he is going to lose big, big, big time. Somebody posted this the other day. If the lockdowns that we've been having over the course of the last 18 months had occurred, shall we say, 20 years ago, you would have been stuck at home with a Nokia 3310 with a 300 text limit, a 100-minute call limit, and dial-up internet. So things could always be worse. Oh, and speaking of other court action, late yesterday, Mark Meadows, the former chief of staff of the Trump administration, Steve Bannon, we all know him, and two other big-time Trump guys have been subpoenaed. So things are starting to heat up there, too. It is cool in St. Louis, but don't despair if you're not ready for cold weather yet, because it's going to be back hovering around 90 degrees Monday and Tuesday of next week. On this date, 1989, we were broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. at the Parents Music Resource Center stuff. This is when Tipper Gore and a bunch of other, congressional and senatorial wives got together and said, we're going to clean up this town. We're going to run through the malls and put warning labels on Naughty by Nature albums. We think that the youth of America is being corrupted by the music. They started out this outfit called the Parents Music Resource Center, which was a really, really fancy name for censorship. And a bunch of people, including Frank Zappa and Dee Snider, testified on Capitol Hill. You know, Zappa showed up in about a $7,000 Armani suit and was very, very well spoken, and just really, those senators were not ready for Frank Zappa, no question about it. And I got to know him a little bit because of his activity fighting off these censorship people. We were doing a lot of interviews, talked to him a number of times. And then he was in the Miami Vice episode that I was an extra in down in Florida. When he found out we were going to Washington to broadcast live, well, then we did another interview on top of that. And he gave me what I consider the single funniest answer to a question. Well, the second single funniest answer, because the first one was the Playboy advisor. The Playboy advisor, I said, what's the weirdest letter you ever got? And these were the letters. You remember this? You would write a letter going, my dick hurts. What's wrong? You know, and he would answer the question. So somebody sent him a letter and said, dear Playboy advisor, I masturbate with sandpaper. Do I have a problem? And the Playboy advisor, a guy by the name of Jim Peterson, wrote back and answered to the question, dear Playboy advisor, I masturbate with sandpaper. Do I have a problem? And his answer was, yes, but not for long. But the second funniest answer is, I said to Frank Zappa, this was when the Ayatollah Khomeini was running around banning music throughout his entire country. No more music. And I said to Frank Zappa, having no idea, you just throw these things at people and you hope for the best. And I said to him, if the Ayatollah was a musician, what sort of instrument do you think he would play? And Zappa got this shit-eating grin on his face, and he just said, some sort of flute. God. Oh, man. What a guy. What a guy. Get your prostates checked. Get your prostates checked, boys. I unearthed this segment you're about to hear. And this goes back to, I believe it's 1989. Now, I had the pleasure of working with Dick Ford at Channel 5 in St. Louis for a number of years. I think it was there for 6 years, I believe it was. And our desks were right across from one another. And I got to know him, and he's a wonderful guy. He's a real character, but just a great guy. And runs. I don't know that he's still running now. I saw Dick 2 years ago at the Press Club event in St. Louis. We got a picture together. We had a wonderful talk. You know, he's got a wife who's 20 years younger than him. He's my hero. Gail is also a wonderful gal. Dick Ford and Dave Murray are still very, very close. And so a lot of times I get updates on Dick because I believe now he's 90. I believe he's 90 years old, but he's taking care of himself. He stopped smoking years ago. And like I said, I don't know that he's still doing it now, but I know until just recently he ran every day. You know, and Dick still has all the lines on his face and everything like that. But, you know, he puts on a suit. He just looks fabulous. And he doesn't look 90 either. But I've always liked Dick. And Dick was one of the guys that in the Channel 5 newsroom, there were some people who were not happy about me showing up there. And a lot of them didn't make it much of a secret. And Dick was one of those guys who was like, you're all right, kid. And just for, you know, I guess for whatever reason, Dick got a kick out of me, all right? So back in the late 80s, we invited Dick Ford to come in and just be our celebrity newscaster for the day. This was on the old classic rock station, 93.7 KSD, the old Breakfast Club. And after we had already booked Dick to be on the show, we found out that Dana Carvey was going to come in. Now, I got to know Dana a little bit, and it's a long story. I have to tell you that story some other time. But I think Dana was supposed to be in for like 15 minutes. He ended up staying for the better part of an hour. Now, this segment has been lost for many, many years, and I just found it day before yesterday. And you would think that having Dick Ford as a celebrity newscaster and Dana Carvey live in the studio at the peak of his popularity on Saturday Night Live, you'd think that would be enough for a show. But no. Also on that show that particular day, we were giving away a swimming pool. And I don't mean something that, you know, like a stand-up pool in the backyard. I'm talking about an in-ground pool. So some of these references are a little bit dated. I think there's some Bob Dole references and stuff like that. But again, it was 1989. So here we go. Our JC Celebrity interview / celebrity newscaster / major giveaway segment, whatever you want to call this. Enjoy.
Think I'll take a hike. Time for sports with Mike Bush. Sports time. Sports in his shorts.
And we've got Dick Ford from Channel 5 Eyewitness News here, and Dana Carvey is here, and Mike Bush is on the phone. We've got everybody here. Hi, Mike.
Hi, JC. I only have a minute, and everybody is pointing at me, because here at this country club, I think I'm the first Jew they've ever seen. Look at him.
Say hello to Dana. Dana is here. Hi.
Hey.
This is a big thrill. I'm sorry I couldn't be in the studio to shake hands, but JC, if you would take a picture of Dana and move it a little bit to the left, I can like superimpose myself on the right and show everybody that I met Dana Carvey.
I think this is the coolest thing I've ever heard of, that you don't have to come to work. That kind of clout. It's like me being able to stay in my hotel tonight and just like phone my thing in over.
Yeah.
All right, I now I'm in the church lady dress. Now I'm doing Hans and Franz. Okay. No, that's very hip.
Put a speakerphone out on the stage and just invite people to come by.
It is a pretty good gig, and you know, I get $4,000 each time my voice is heard on the radio.
Really?
Yeah. $4,000 a pop.
Yeah. I want your agent. I want your life. But I don't want you. It's about Miss Paula.
But Mike, how do you say tee off in German?
Tee off in German.
How do you say four in German?
Jawohl.
You know, don't let them value you out there. Just go into a little Arnold impression and go, look, you little girly loser, such a little club. You know, I could throw the ball with my hand and, you know, it would go in the hole because I only know how to be number one. And I could flick you with my little baby finger and you would fly across the fairway and land in your baby poop in the sand trap. Oh! Just a suggestion there. Whatever you want to do.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
All right. See you.
He doesn't want any part of this. All right,
that always gets him off.
Yeah,
here.
Mike Bush there. Yeah. So you're going to be doing two shows. It was originally only supposed to be two shows tonight.
Oh, they just keep adding shows. I may never get out of St. Louis. I love it here. I don't know what it is about me in this town.
They're going to get you in an apartment. You'll be here.
I'm doing two shows tonight and one show tomorrow night.
Yeah, and that one was added because of the popularity of Dana Carvey. You were here in 1987 with the Saturday Night Live tour.
Yeah, had a little Dennis Miller with me there. Okay, what am I, Condor, the usurpery one here? Does Dennis know what he's referring to? It's like, what am I, Queequeg here? Who are these people? Yeah. I was with them. And I stopped by once a couple years ago, and now I'm back.
Great shows. We have been telling people that that you really, really are terrific in person. You don't come out on stage in the church lady outfit. I think people are expecting
I have the glasses. Yeah. Last time I was at the Westport Playhouse, it was frightening. As I was leaving the stage, I saw a 12-year-old boy in a dress doing the church lady face, clamoring toward me. One of those slow motion things of, what's wrong with this picture?
You serious? A guy dressed up like the church lady?
For a while I did encourage Youth of America to cross dress. It was frightening, but then they went into the Hans and Franz thing, and now they're dressing like Wayne and Garth. So I just want them to be my willing thralls and dress, do what I say. But Garth will probably make an appearance.
Oh, is that right?
He might be singing. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. This is the word that Garth said. This is Garth's big word on that show. Kabim! I don't know what it is, but people love that one word. Kabim! There it is, ladies and gentlemen. A few tickets still available. You can hear me say kaboom. When are those shows again, Jason?
Two tonight and one tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
Where
was that? Unbelievably, tickets are still available for the 8 o'clock show tomorrow night at the Westport
Playhouse.
Can you
believe that George Bush yesterday at that Nixon library thing got Reagan in a headlock and said, who's the boss now? Who's the boss now? Well, you are, you are. Love this little man. Love what you're doing. I'm number one.
Dana, they say, you know, years ago, they said there was a shortage of stand-up comics because there was no place for them to develop. You
right,
know?
I mean,
if you think about all the stars in those days were Billions or burlesque people. Now, I guess there isn't a shortage. I mean, maybe shortage of quality, but certainly, man, there's a lot of people who are doing it.
There's comedy clubs everywhere. I mean, they didn't even have comedy clubs. When I was a boy, I mean, I sound like, they didn't have comedy clubs.
And we liked it.
You liked it. You stood on your head and spewed out jokes and hoped somebody stopped and pulled you off your cranium. Yeah. No,
but I guess it's true. You got to develop a character. You can't just start this overnight. You got to develop it in some way through some minor leagues, I guess you'd want to call
it. Yeah, I played music rooms. They'd have comedy night. I played the Vaseline Room in Bakersfield, which was rough.
What?
The Vaseline Room. The audience used to dance to my act. It was incredible. Chuck Berry and I used to hang out, and I'll tell you, it was amazing what we were doing down there.
You grew up in, Montana? Is that right?
No, I was from Montana, but I really grew up near San Francisco.
So it wasn't that difficult to find a venue to go. Trying to think. I don't think you would have had much opportunity in Montana. I mean,
no opportunity there. Playing to some pine cones and some drunk fishermen. No, San Francisco is good. Very tolerant. I played to hippies. I started in the Haight-Ashbury, which is a very tolerant place where you can do characters like the church lady or whatever, and they go, fine, you know. I mean, you could paint your head blue and cop an attitude in San Francisco, and people just go, nice shade of blue, dude. You know, you try that, like, you know, out maybe in someplace else in this country, be like, your head looks like a damn bowling ball. Yeah. And we want you out of here now, you know. So
Dick was talking about this earlier. His wife Gail had said, you know, ask Dana, ask somebody, as far as maybe what might be some hands-off stuff. Now, but that you say the censor, and one would find it difficult to believe that there was a censor anywhere near 30 Rock when you guys did the penis sketch, which was, I guess, 2 years
that?
Ago. The penis sketch.
Well,
2 years
last
ago.
Night they finally aired the Fonking sketch, Fonkin. Fonking, which is the Brooklyn Academy of Arts, and we just were going.
Oh, it was the Tony Danza thing,
right? And they weren't going to air that again. We lost $1 million in sponsorship because of Fonking, Fonkin. I can't believe this Fonking thing.
Right.
Yeah, you're Fonking out of your mind.
Do you remember specifically who pulled off?
I don't know. It might have been Procter & Gamble or Pizza Hut or something.
I know that St. Louis-based Ralston Purina was involved in something where some advertising was pulled off your show, too. So if you had
Ralston Purina,
if you had something to say to all the corporate execs who are probably listening to this right now from Ralston Purina, what would that be?
Well, you don't like that word pee-pee, do you? You can call it Mr. Happy, whatever you want. You can call it your friend. We'll use that technical, that scientific term. Didn't like it. Learned it there in biology class. Penis, say it with me. Don't have to be frightened of it. So, you know, that sketch was just about, you know, the male obsession with his organ. And, you know, we just thought, let's just take it to the extreme.
And people lost their minds for some reason.
And people got flipped out about it. You know?
But, I mean, your first real, you know, honest to God, full-length, you know, credited motion picture debut. And they throw you in with two icons.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I said to my agent when I got the job, I said, let me get this straight. I talk, then Burt Lancaster talks, and then I talk again, and then Kirk Douglas talks. Are you kidding me? So I walk on the set, and I go, this is my first movie, Mr. Lancaster. He goes, oh, this is my 80th. I've done 80 motion pictures. You've done one. I'm a star. You're nobody. No, he was a very nice guy. Kirk Douglas walked up to me and said, well, you're perfect. I don't know why I talk like this, but I do.
When you get past the church lady and past Hans and Franz, what's next? What are they like? What do people on the street come up to you about?
Well, lately it's just been George Bush a lot. Doing that thing. George Bush, I met him a couple weeks ago in the White House.
How did you get invited to the White House?
I was in Washington doing a benefit for the Democrats because Lorne Michaels asked me to do it. It's not like I'm sort of a moderate. But anyway, I was playing Bush for the Democrats. So Ted Kennedy's out there, Alan Cranston, and I'm Bush with the whole thing. Yeah. I'm going, love to run against that guy, Mario. That Cuomo guy. Not a lot of Marios down there in Tennessee. Not a mainstream name. I can see myself the debate now. I just disagree with Mario. Can't go the extra mile of Mario. Can't get together with that fella, Mario. So I got a note at the hotel. The president would like to meet you. So I walk into the Oval Office, nervous. I'm blown away. I see Bush, and I go, Mr. President. And then I saw Quayle, and without thinking, I went, Dan! And he just sank down, you know. But Bush was very charming. But you can't nail. He's so noncommittal. He's very slippery. I said, "Do you watch Saturday Night Live, Mr. President?" "Don't know. Not enough information." There are those who say I watch it. Others say I don't. Don't want to be drawn into that debate at this juncture. Then I tried to just nail him on anything. Did you have lunch today? "Don't know. Was hungry at 11. Full at 12. There's that gap in there. You can turn it, twist it, do what you want with it. Still there. It's good. It's good.
One of the characters that I would like to see you do more of, and that, of course, is Casey Kasem.
Casey Kasem. You don't want to get him mad because that voice is so up-tempo that when he gets mad, it's more frightening than anything. So it gets worse. I had a nightmare the other night that he got upset with me, and it was like, "Hey, Casey, how you doing?" "Shut your lousy stinking mouth. Shut it or I'll shut it for you. I'll kick your butt all the way to Reno, cowboy, and it won't feel very good. I'm Casey Kasem." Yeah, you don't want him mad at you. That is amazing. You know, one thing about Casey, every time I've done Casey Kasem, he has sent me a gift.
Really?
He sent me.
It's like Elvis.
It's unbelievable. I don't know. Maybe he's with the jars and the gauze tape over. He sent me albums. He sent me little, you know, figurines and pictures of his wife. But, you know, no, he's... He seems like a really nice guy. I don't know.
What kinds of things, as you look forward to another season of Saturday Night Live, what do you want to do that you haven't tried yet?
Well, when I do a little more George in different situations, going to be working on the grumpy old man. In my day, we didn't have these thin latex condoms. There's only one kind of condom. You took a rabbit skin and wrapped it around your privates and tied it off with a bungee cord. You didn't feel nothing, and half the time you didn't even know if your partner was there. And we used the same one over and over again because we were ignorant morons. We didn't know any better. And that's the way it was. We liked it.
Wow. Wow. What a segment. With Dana Carvey, Dick Ford, Mike Bush, and the rest of the crowd on the old Breakfast Club. And with that, we say another JC podcast is in the can here at jconline.com. We publish absolutely free every Monday through Friday, right at about 7 o'clock. We archive all the old shows. Please continue to spread the word. I know you guys are doing a great job. Tell all your friends, especially everybody who used to like the old radio shows, that I'm here every morning doing this, and they usually get pretty excited. So you'll be a hero to them. So continue to spread the word. You can email me at jc@jconline.com. And Follow me on Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a tremendous weekend. Go Cards. Let's see how this whole thing shakes out. Big baseball weekend. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.